This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. The pandemic has affected the education sector immensely, with schools and other learning institutions forced to shutter their doors and move almost entirely online. To help provide a perspective on what that shift was like, I have Melissa Liu, founder of Learning Fresh, an English studio-based innovation school for young learners aged 3 to 12, online with me today.
Hi everyone, I'm Melissa from Learning Fresh. So we were established in 2011 and we have been around for 10 years now to date. Over the years, we expanded to 4 centers and we have then evolved into a learning center where we work with preschoolers, primary schoolers.
Right, I see. So what was the story behind the inception of Learning Fresh in the first place?
Oh, when I came back to Malaysia, I was studying in the US. I took a part-time stint as an English language teacher in one of the language centers in KL. And then I realized, oh, you know, this is a pretty good thing. This is something I really enjoy, and I enjoy working with the kids. So this is how it started. I wanted to have my own center and to be able to conduct classes in a way that I would think it's more engaging and fun for the children.
Right, I see. And at the moment, you know, do you follow a specific syllabus set by any governing body or anything like that? What's the sort of structure with Learning Fresh?
Yes, we do. For curriculum, we abide by the Cambridge curriculum standards, but for the syllabus, we write it ourselves. It's very customized according to, it depends on the child or the group size. So the classes will then be customized, taking into account of every child's learning disposition. And if it's a group class, we will take a look at where they are in terms of dynamics and we will plan accordingly. So every time we start a class, it's always different. And although it may be the same thing, for example, if we're teaching nouns, it will be taught differently, you see, depending on the dynamics of the group or even the way the child receives information.
Right. So can you give me an example of what you mean by different?
So, for example, when it comes to reading, okay, reading is a standard subject that we teach. So, for example, if a child is more visual, then we would use a lot more visual context and context clues to help a child learn how to read. But if a child is more kinesthetic, then we would apply more activities. So, for example, if we are working on learning how to learn the letter S, so it could be squeezing the lemons. So squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And then, for example, if we place the lemon juice in a glass, then it will be suck the juice. And this would be introducing them the letter S.
Right, I see. So you're sort of, you're customizing the teaching style according to the kids' learning styles.
Yes, correct. Right. So when it comes to teaching, all these subjects are the same, but how we do it differently according to each child's disposition.
Right. And this is supposed to be supplementary to, let's say, their existing, preschool or elementary school teachings?
We have supplementary classes. We also have our main classes where we take in preschoolers and primary school kids.
Right. I see. And why specifically only focus on preschoolers and primary school kids?
Because these are the developmental years. And initially, we actually tried to work on a baby program, Fresh Steps. But unfortunately, we had to pull it out really quickly because right before the pandemic, Malaysia was somewhat looming into a recession. So we had to close down our center in Taman Desa, and that has basically froze. But the idea has always been there. If we are able to work with kids as young as 6 months old, we would. Developmental stages are crucial because this will then we can enforce habits and also help them grow in a way that they're safe and loved. And then as they go into teenage years and adulthood, they'll be able to express themselves clearly and respectfully.
Right. And what about the flip side? Have you ever thought about going older for your students?
We have been around for 10 years. We have seen our kids come and gone. We still keep in contact with some of them. And it's nice to see, even though they're not with us, but it is we are part of their journey somehow. Some of the kids, they are in their teenage years, they're in the late teens, 18, 19, and we're on Instagram contacting one another.
Right, okay. But in terms of teaching older years, have you ever considered that?
Not at the moment. We do have some classes for older kids, but it's not a full-fledged program. So we do what we do. We're good in English. So for older kids, teenage years from 13 to 16 years old, we work on literature, sociology, and English language.
Got it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, I have to ask, what are your fees like, especially in comparison to other learning centers that are out there?
We would be part in the middle. So you would be expecting to pay, for example, a supplementary classes, you'd be expecting to pay between $250 to $400 a month.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of in line and justified by, you know, that sort of a customization aspect that we were discussing a bit earlier as well, I suppose.
Yes, and because we also practice small class sizes. Mm. So we take anywhere up to 8 students to a class.
Right, so there's a lot of focus because of that smaller teacher-student ratio.
Yes, that's right. So also depending on the group dynamics, if the group itself, they require more attention, we would cap it at 6 students.
Mm.
And we will not take in any more for that particular group.
Right, interesting. Now, obviously, you guys have been around for basically around a decade now. So tell me a little bit about your growth and progress in that space of time before the pandemic started.
It was pretty steady. We were opening centers every 2 years, new centers every 2 years. And we started off in Malawi, a very, very small center. And our second center was in Jayawan. We opened that during our second year. On the fourth year, we opened up in Jalan Gasing, Petaling Jaya. And then 2 years after, we opened up in Taman Desa. And at that point of time, we wanted to open up. Before the pandemic, we were planning to expand into Mount Kiara. So unfortunately, when the pandemic hit, we had to close all of our centers. And we only have the Mount Kiara center left because we had already committed to a new agreement.
Right. When you say close all of the centers, you actually moved out of the area as well.
Yes. So what we did last year, because we didn't know what was going to happen, so we told our parents, okay, in order for us to pass on a significant discount, so we gave a massive discount of 67% of all of our fees by shutting down all of our centers. So just primarily just covering our operational expenses, it would be teaching, it would be teachers' salaries, and that was it. So that was the agreement between us and the parents. And we told them, okay, if we close and if you'll be all right, if you commit to one whole year of learning, since we don't know what's going to happen. So even when MCO was lifted last year, our children were still with us online when most of the kids were out studying. But only in this manner, we could pass on the savings to the parents. And also at the same time, it would help us manage our finances almost instantly.
Right.
Mm.
Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit more about the effect of the pandemic later on. But before we do that, I do want to ask a few questions about staffing as well. Obviously, for a learning center and as a center that focuses on education, qualifications and certifications, especially for, you know, such developmental age range of 4-year students is really important. So tell me a little bit about your staff. How many are there? And, you know, what's the process, essentially, of the hiring process?
The hiring process would normally be through a standard job street, and then also, but most of our teachers will come through referrals. If any time we hire them from a third-party platform, that's when the questions would come in. For example, calling in their previous employers and also asking them how they are like in their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say majority of our teachers are usually through referrals.
Right, and what about qualifications and certifications as well?
They would have, okay, when it comes to certification, it would be great. They have at least some level of teaching certification. It could be a diploma in English language teaching. It could be a bachelor's or master's in psychology, because we have a very strict training program. So when they come in, it is not so much about going through the teaching degree that's related to their school or related to the national curriculum, but they would have to go through an intensive training program with us.
Right. Got it. Interesting. So also, you know, regarding staff, since you did close most of the centers, did that affect your staff as well?
Yes. So unfortunately, we had to let go, I would say, about 60% of our staff.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do that. And then I myself, I stepped in and started teaching a lot more classes.
Right.
Just to make sure everything was afloat. So right now we're not sure what's going to happen right now because of the pandemic. So we'll see. When it comes to staffing, we are not looking to hire at this point of time until we have a better confirmation as to what's going to happen in Malaysia, if the numbers are going to be reduced soon, because we're working in education. So usually when it comes to schools or learning centers, we're somewhat the last to open.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah. So that's that.
Mm. All right. Really, really interesting. Right. It's time for a short break right now. But after that, I will continue speaking to Melissa Liu, the founder of Learning Fresh here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm joined on the line by Melissa Liu, who is the founder of Learning Fresh, which is essentially an English studio-based innovation school for young learners. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, the pre-pandemic performance of Learning Fresh, why it began, you know, the growth and progress before the pandemic, and also a few little bits about how they were also initially affected by the pandemic, including having to, unfortunately, downsize by quite a margin. Now, I do want to ask a little bit now about your pivot and your response to the pandemic. You did mention that you moved online, which seems to be honestly the case for just about every business out there, it feels like. Yeah. But tell me a little bit more detail about what that pivot included.
Okay, I think for us in the beginning of the of MCO, what we did was when we switched online, it was really rather not to pivot at that point of time, but rather to continue education for our kids, because we had to continue. We didn't know what was happening. So the online platform began 2 weeks after MCO1 was in place. Then along the way, I think it was in June, that's when, you know, when everything got settled in, we are much more familiar with the online practices and how to handle the students, and also how to manage your teachers' expectations and your stress levels, parents' expectations as well. Once all of that was sorted out, So basically, I decided that we should be able to provide this sort of online services, even if the lockdown is going to be lifted in the near future to come. So the idea for Learning Fresh is to have a space, and right now we're in Montara. It's a nice space. It's very good. We have a lot of rooms, and it looks somewhat like a Google office. And it's for them to come in and socialize, be able to research, do their presentations, and complete their projects. But when it comes to technical subjects like writing, or even for math, then that can be conducted in a much, like an online setting where it is much more effective and we can deliver without any disturbance around us.
Right. Now, you have mentioned the location that you're in, Montkiara, several times. That was something that you created during the pandemic, which is interesting because, as you mentioned, you know, you did close your other locations as well. So what was the idea behind that decision?
For one, because at that time, our student body, a lot of our kids, they live around this area. So it also made sense for us to come into Montkiara. But we actually wanted to come in before the pandemic hit, before the first lockdown. So we did actually, we almost signed an agreement with another landlord. But luckily we didn't, because when the lockdown was in place, we had to withdraw our offer. And because we had already informed the parents that we were going to expand further, and we wanted to have a space, because knowing that we have closed out all our centers, we needed to have a space, you see. So I shopped around, and this was in June or July of last year. And then I found this place. Right. And of course, so this was during the pandemic.
I see. All right. So obviously, at the moment, though, your location is not open to your students, and I assume most of your staff as well, because of the lockdown restrictions. So tell me a little bit about the nature of the programs that you are currently running then.
We have our preschool program, and we also have our Cambridge program, working with year one all the way to year six. So it is from 5 to 12 years old. This is a full-time Cambridge program, just like how a child would go to school. And we also have our supplementary programs like English language classes, we have coding. We have a very short burst of classes of 30 minutes for really young children. Because what we realized that some of our kids for preschool, especially the preschoolers, they can't sit through for 3 straight hours. So we have broken it down to 30-minute segments where children and parents can choose their classes from Monday through Sunday.
Right, I see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was kind of my next question, which is that one of the big things about education that's really important is like consistency, and also being able to to adjust to a situation like this is really, really difficult, especially for your sector. So can you tell me a little bit about the response to that, both from your clients, which are obviously the parents, and the students as well?
I think it was most difficult last year for all of us, including parents and students, because we had to manage our expectations. You know, from an educator's point of view, we were thinking, are we giving too much homework? Are we not giving enough homework? Are they learning? Are they being independent? Are they being guided? You know, so we are, that's our perspective. From the parents' perspective, it's a lot more questions. And for the kids, they had to adjust from on-site teaching, on-site learning to online learning. So they had to adapt, but our kids were able to adapt in 2 to 3 weeks. Mm. The older ones did really well. But if we compare last year and this year they're flourishing. They know what to do. They know how they can present. They can basically use all forms of Google, Google Docs, Google Forms, Google Presentation, Google Slides. They can do a lot of things. And furthermore, it's not just that, but they can also research and also gather information and consolidate them to be able to present. They're able to work independently in our breakout rooms. So these are the things that they have picked up, and they have learned so much more that they didn't learn before when we were teaching on site.
Right, I see. And you mentioned, again, you've adjusted the program to accommodate the younger children as well, who just don't have the ability to sit, as you mentioned, you know, still for 3 hours straight. But, I mean, tell me a little bit about the challenges of that, because having to, you know, maintain that level of engagement online for younger kids must be quite difficult.
So last year, we realized, okay, honestly, it would be better for young kids to be, you know, if you're staying at home, it'll be best if they can utilize their time to play or even to interact with their family members. So just to be observant, about aware of their surroundings, because the online, I can only speak for Learning Fresh. When we tried to conduct our regular preschool program last year online, it was almost impossible. For one, the lack of resources on our end, and also the families didn't have the materials at home. So it would have been more viable if students actually went onto YouTube. You see, it would have been more interesting. So what we did was we broke it down into segments of 30 minutes. And it's very, very specific. All of our programs for the little kids are story-based. We use a story-based approach. And for example, if we are talking about, we are trying to teach healthy eating for science. So we would show them a story of the hungry caterpillar, tell them a story, and then we will create food out of it. You see? So that will happen in 30 minutes.
Right. So there's a level of interactivity, I guess, that will help the younger kids maintain their attention span, I suppose.
Yes. So we have broken down our goals, and it's very specific. So today we're going to learn about the letter C, for example. And that's that, just activities revolving around C. And right. We wouldn't go any further because it's only 30 minutes. Mm. So although it's 30 minutes, and even though it's a single goal, it is extensive. The kids are able to have fun. And also, we don't have to repeat the same thing because they would have already remembered.
Right. Now, I do want to take a look a little bit at the bigger picture here and ask you about your general thoughts about the education industry in the pandemic and, you know, your thoughts as well on the future of education as well.
I think the pandemic has definitely created a lot more options for educators. And for us, we are continuing to offer the online option and also the hybrid option. They have a choice of coming into the center, or they have a choice of learning from home. So the idea is, for us, it would be a shift. You see, not so much about a place where children need to be for 6 hours in a day, but rather they come in and for them to meet up and to make sure that the time is utilized very well. Mm. You see, so it doesn't have to be 6 hours. It can be 2 or 3 hours. So for me as an educator, I would think this, because of the pandemic, with the options created, I would think it is so much more better and stimulating for the students. They have so many more options to explore.
Right.
And it's really catered to their own learning disposition.
Mm-hmm. And my final question for you, Melissa, is what is in the future for Learning Fresh? If there's anything, you know, any ideas, even if nothing concrete?
Right now, we're going to focus on what we have right now, because we did not expect that we would go through a longer lockdown. And so we are going to continue with a hybrid learning option, our online option, even when lockdown lifts, and also the full-time, if parents prefer the full-time service, we are here for them.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Melissa, for speaking to me today all about Learning Fresh.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Christine.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and I've been speaking to Melissa Liu, founder of Learning Fresh, an English studio-based innovation school for young learners. If you've missed any of today's podcast, you can go ahead and download our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to catch up. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.